Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Monday, June 1st, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. Perhaps you were protesting. Title of today's podcast, The Looting of America. I think that's very fitting. It has multiple purposes because I've been saying here for weeks that they, the government, they, the Federal Reserve, they, the upper echelons of society who get that easy money first, are running away with the loot. And now, of course, over the weekend, protests, kicking it up a notch, you might say, you see violence, you see these protests turning into riots. We have the right to peacefully assemble and to protest peacefully. We do not have the right to do harm to others. We do not have the right to vandalize property. I don't care how frustrated you are. I don't care how upset you are. I don't care how belittled you think you are, how ignored you think you are. You do not have the right to do harm to others, and you do not have the right to vandalism or theft or any other crime for that matter. But to march peacefully, to voice your concerns, amen. I support you. I support that right. That's how this country is supposed to be. That's what we stand for. We do not stand for the rule of the jungle. We stand for the rule of law. Okay? It's quite simple. But again, looking at the broader picture, now this is going to upset a lot of people, obviously. Watching people on TV run into stores, breaking windows, stealing merchandise, doesn't matter the store. It could be from Target all the way up to Gucci or anything higher end than them. It upsets a lot of people, and rightly so, especially when you watch the police force standing there and not doing much about it. Now, of course, there were thousands of arrests over the past several days, but they obviously are unable of catching everybody. This is a disgrace. This is clearly not our finest hour, but you have to also understand the frustration that a lot of people are feeling, not just in relation to the tragic death of Mr. George Floyd a week ago, but also the economic fallout, 40 million Americans losing their jobs. How many of those Americans also know somebody else who lost their job, or somebody who may have a job still? How many of those individuals know somebody who has lost a job, and it could be very close to home? So there are a ton of things coming together. Like we've been saying here for months, the global protests were not and are not transitory. They are history in the making. And I have been saying here for months that they will be coming to a theater near you. Well, here they are. Here they are. And it's no surprise to me that they turned violent. It's no surprise to me that the protest, the peaceful protest, turned into violent riots, where there is also theft, looting, and damage to other human beings. This is not what we stand for. This cannot continue, but this is likely going to continue for some time. I hope it's just the peaceful protests that continue, but there are organized groups out there who are infiltrating these peaceful protests, using this as cover, using this as an excuse to vandalize and hurt people. So the police force needs to step up. Governors, mayors need to step up. This type of lawlessness cannot stand. Stand with the protesters because their grievance is righteous. What took place never should have happened, period. It never should have happened. So these people who are protesting have every right to do so, and their cause is righteous. Make that known to these people protesting, to these people marching. And I would argue that the vast majority of them want to march peacefully. You have the family of Mr. Lloyd coming out and saying, hey, this is not what we want. This is not what our brother stood for. Do not do this. Peace, peacefully protest, peacefully march. that we can stand behind, and that is what is needed. Now, the weekend was simply out of control. You saw police vehicles set on fire, vandalized, people going in those vehicles clearly after breaking down the windows or just opening the car doors and taking out, I saw people taking out body armor. I don't know if any of them got their hands on any weapons. I do think that there was one, but there was a plainclothes officer who quickly got that weapon out of the hand of a protester. But nonetheless, just one thing after the next. I saw one group of protesters with a police cruiser put the vehicle in neutral, get behind it, and push it down a street into police officers, and the police officers did nothing about it whatsoever. I think that was in Philadelphia. I mean, these protests, these riots, because that's really what they are, they're riots. When they come to violence, they're riots. Otherwise, they're just protests. So let's just draw that distinction here, at least how I'm going to talk about them. If I say protest, I'm talking peacefully. If I say riots, we're talking about the violence. So clearly, these were riots. Catch the vehicles on fire. Police aren't doing much of anything. Firefighters can't come in until it's safe to do so, because God forbid they become attacked for trying to put out a fire. And in the backdrop, we still have COVID-19. We still have a lot of businesses who are shut down. Despite the fact that a lot of the country is starting the process of reopening, well, a lot of these protests and riots are taking place in this country's largest cities. That's no surprise. Well, they're the largest cities, therefore they have the biggest populations. A lot of small businesses, a lot of restaurants, shopping stores, retail. Well, now these businesses, they already suffered enough as it was due to the lockdowns because of COVID-19. Now, in the midst of them opening up again to some degree, they're vandalized. Their stores are looted. Who pays for this? Are insurance companies going to have to flip the bill? Are there riot policies? I don't know. I'm not in the insurance business. I've never come across these. I don't know. I would imagine, because I do know that there are pandemic policies, I would imagine that there are some type of riot or protest policies as well. So one would think you would have to have such policy in order to file a claim and for the insurance company to deem it valid. So here comes a question. Somebody's got to pay for it. There's no free lunch. So it's either going to be these small businesses. Some of them, of course, are larger businesses, but especially the small mom and pop stores, they're going to disproportionately have to flip the bill. And if not them, if not the mid-size businesses themselves, if not the larger businesses themselves, then the insurance companies. Somebody's going to pay for it. This depletes their reserves, whether that's the business, whether that's the insurance company. You couldn't have asked for all of this to come together at a more worse time. But that's exactly what's happening. And the leadership is lacking, as we have been discussing here for months, on all sides, around the world. Again, I state here clearly that the only people that I said were the leaders prior to COVID-19 were those people taking to the streets to protest, because they have had enough. They have nothing to lose. They're losing it. Things were bad before COVID-19. They're even worse now. What do you think is going to happen? This is common sense. This is logical. You may not like the picture that I paint. I don't like it either. But that's what I see. These are the logical connections that I am making. I hope a lot of them don't come true. But unfortunately, a lot of them have come to fruition. And I think a lot more of them will come to fruition as well as time progresses. This stuff has to stop. The president, after being relatively silent on the issue for a week, and I really mean that from the standpoint of no tweets, because that's not leadership, not making comments about it in some other press conference or in some other media, because clearly we had the SpaceX rocket launch, which was very successful, very optimistic. The president made some comments there, but that does not really carry the weight of the White House, the Oval Office, the East Room, Rose Garden, anything like that. But of course, the president did come out this evening to finally give, let's just call it a formal address, about a 5-6-7 minute statement, pretty much talking about him being the, quote, law and order president, that he is going to step in with the military if needed in all of the states or wherever things get out of hand if mayors and governors do not get a handle on everything that is going on, especially with the riots. Now, to a large swath of the country, they like this stance. Law and order, portraying the strong man, the tough guy. We like it. We don't like what we've seen on television over the weekend, all of this looting, the police officers standing idly by. We don't like it. Okay, finally somebody is saying something. Flip side. A lot of the country says this is exactly who he is. He doesn't care. He made only a few comments about the deceased. He only made a few comments about police brutality. He really didn't talk about that at length. He went straight to the law and order part, straight to getting the military out there if need be, talking about using the National Guard, X, Y, and Z, earlier in the day with a teleconference or a phone conference with the nation's governors. You heard audio that he was using the word, you got to dominate these people in the streets. You got to dominate them. You're all weak. This is ridiculous, yada, yada, yada. People don't want to hear that type of rhetoric. Some do, some don't. Is this the type of place? Is this the here and now to use that type of rhetoric? I'm sure you have an opinion. I don't think it's the best time to be using this type of rhetoric. I've stated it here many, many times before, and I stated it at the top of this podcast. There are structural issues that exist within this country. They are not Donald Trump's fault. The man has been there for 3 years. But the question is, as President of the United States, as Commander in Chief, are you making them better? Your words carry an immense amount of weight because you represent the world's largest economy. You represent the world's most powerful military force. Your words, Mr. President, carry an immense amount of weight. Structural issues here across the board. Economically, financially, socially, politically, you name it. Again, not the president's doing. He hasn't been there that long. But is he the man of the hour? Is he the man for the job to heal a nation, to bring it together because it needs to? His rhetoric says, no, he's not. His actions say, no, he is not. Again, you can play the strong guy, but are you going to really send the American military into these states? There are laws against that, you know, the Posse Comitatus Act, passed about a decade past the Civil War for this very reason. That the United States military is not to act as a police force. Now, the National Guard can at the state level, and you're seeing the National Guard deployed in various states to assist with local law enforcement and state police if these riots truly get out of hand. The president is basically invoking the Insurrection Act of 1807. You'll hear a lot about this. Does he have the authority to do so? Short answer, yes, he does. But a lot of it has to do with whether or not the states seek the support of the President of the United States. This will go back and forth. Of course, you'll hear, I'm sure, lawyers arguing both sides of it. That's what they do. But does Donald Trump even really want to do this to begin with, or does he just know what his base wants to hear? Is this just simply another bluff? Is this just a talking point? Is this just something to score some political points? Because in my opinion, the president took too long to come out and make a comment, a formal comment about these protests and these riots. Took too long. You saw what was taking place over the weekend. Anybody with half a brain, with a couple brain cells to rub together for that matter, should have understood that these protests were going to turn into riots, at least in some of these major cities, if not all of them. Get ahead of that. Try to have a message more about unity. And then at the end of it, say, and if things get out of hand, then you are the law and order president. Don't start off your comments with just a couple passerby sentences about what occurred, the tragic murder, the police brutality, and then the bulk of your speech being, I'm the law and order president, we're going to use the military, yada, yada, yada. It should have been the other way around. Have the bulk of your message about what is going on, why these protests are taking place. And then say, if they get out of hand, it is your obligation, it is my duty as the President of the United States to be the law and order President of the United States. That's my job. That's what I took an oath to do, and here's how we're going to handle it. He knows who he's talking to. He's trying to score political points. And at the same time, during his address in the Rose Garden this evening, you basically had a split screen of how he, the president, was saying he is in support of peaceful protests, as he should be. And then on the other screen, you have the Washington, D.C. police, military police, tear gassing and shooting rubber bullets at a crowd across the street from the White House. And by all accounts, and I happen to be watching CNN again, I flipped through all the channels, but I happen to be on CNN at this time. Had reporters down there across from the White House shortly prior to the president's remarks in the Rose Garden. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the protests were peaceful. Then the police started moving on them. You could visibly see the tear gas that was fired. You could hear the flash bangs as well. You had one protester screaming into the camera, "We weren't doing anything. Why are they doing this?" And then later, it comes to pass that that area needed to be cleaned out because the president wanted to take a stroll across the street to St. John's Episcopal Church to, as he said in his finishing remarks in the Rose Garden, that he wanted to pay his respects to a building in Washington, D.C., because St. John's Episcopal Church was vandalized the evening prior. There were some minor fires within that church. And so that area needed to be cleared out. Despite the fact that those protesters, from all accounts that I could see, CNN heard the same reporting from Reuters, those protesters were acting in a peaceful manner. So the only conclusion one can draw is the fact that the president wanted a photo opportunity to take a stroll across the street, to go stand in front of the church. I do not believe he went inside. Just went outside, had a photo op, had the attorney general standing by him, his press secretary, I believe his chief of staff, and the defense secretary, and there might have been a couple others. And then the president held up a Bible. For to me, this is a photo opportunity. Ask the president what his favorite Bible verse is. He doesn't even have to cite it chapter and verse. He doesn't even have to quote it verbatim. Do a paraphrase. Ask him a couple of them. This is a photo opportunity. He knows the audience he is trying to reach. Now it's going to be an interesting experiment to see how CNN covers this, how MSNBC follows this, and how Fox News covers this, because this was a photo op, plain and simple. Plain and simple. The president was rushed into a bunker in the White House on Friday evening because the protests started getting violent, turning into riots. Now, I don't know how much of a say the president has in such a situation. It might simply be protocol, That's Secret Service's jurisdiction domain. Mr. President, you're going into the bunker. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But the president didn't like that, and this was his opportunity to come out and say, okay, I'm not hiding in a bunker in the White House. I'm taking a stroll across the street. Here's my photo opportunity. Now, clearly, I don't know what's in the president's heart, but we do know he was a Manhattan playboy, bankrupted several companies, paid a porn star for you know what when his wife was pregnant with their child. Now, this is not the symbol of moral clarity or any type of righteousness, but maybe he's had a turn of heart. I don't know, but call me skeptical. To me, this was just a photo opportunity because the president knows how to play to the cameras. He knows the cameras are going to be on him. And so, again, it's going to be interesting to see if that movement, him taking the stroll, him holding up the Bible, turns up in any type of political ad, or to see, again, how the mainstream news networks cover that action. It'll be very interesting to see. A little bit of market performance, and then we'll get back to some of the politics. Well, one would think that with all of the looting, with Rome burning, as we discussed here on Friday's podcast, that the markets might have a day of sanity and a day of respect, if you will, for the people who have lost their jobs and for the people who are protesting and for the major cities who are suffering from vandalism and these riots. Nope, can't do it. So the markets were in the green. S&P, Dow, NASDAQ, Russell 2000, the small cap index. Right now, during futures trading, however, they all are in the red. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down about 0.4%. Same for the S&P 500. The NASDAQ 100 is down about 0.1%. Cash trade in Japan right now, up 1.2%. Across the pond in Europe, all in the green, up 1 to 2%, depending on the index. Cash trade in Australia also up 7 points, about a gain of 0.1% as well. Dollar getting shellacked, and it has been over the past few days, so that could be one of the driving forces for a higher stock market for the time being. Crude oil, WTI trading at $35.64 a barrel. Brent, the international metric, at $38.67 a barrel. It was just the other day where both were trading at about $35 per barrel. Said that was highly unusual. Typically, Brent is usually a few dollars more. So here you have it. Natural gas trading at $1.78 per million British thermal units. Gold and silver both having a nice day, but pulling back at the time of this podcast slightly. Gold at $1,739 an ounce. Silver, $18.21 an ounce. A big move in silver over these past few days in particular. On the bond front, the U.S. 10-year Treasury note is yielding 0.65%. So that's it for some of the market performance. We'll see how this carries forward moving as we make our way forward. U.S. debt clock, as we're keeping tabs on this. On Friday, the national debt was at $25,709 billion. At the time of this podcast, it is at $25,720 billion. So the rate of change has slowed down dramatically, only gaining about $11 billion over the weekend. We'll keep you posted as to where this stands at the end of the week. Now, getting back to the title of today's podcast, The Looting of America. Again, a lot of people are going to be upset with the riots and all of the looting taking place, whether it's a big business, a mid-sized business, or a small business, and rightly so. And rightly so. But are people really paying attention to the real looting that is going on in this country? It's one thing to run into a Target. And there was one Target, I can't recall the city, but there was one Target where people were actually driving up to the Target, dropping off people. They were running into it, stealing as many goods as they can, and then running back out into the vehicles. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Now, that's terrible. I don't condone it for a second. Shouldn't be tolerated. But then why are people tolerating the billions and trillions of dollars that are being looted from us, the taxpayer? It's one thing to steal a few cheap items out of Target, some items that were made in China, and to be upset about it, and again, rightly so, but where is the outrage for the billions and trillions of dollars that is being hijacked right under our noses from the federal government, from the Federal Reserve? Nowhere. Nowhere to be seen, nowhere to be heard. Now, that could change in time once people start to wake up to the fact that the stock market is almost, once again, at an all-time high. And when you're looking at the NASDAQ, it's just a stone throws away. We are in the midst of the greatest depression, 40 million Americans unemployed over the course of 10 weeks, riots, protests, Rome is burning, vandalism, small businesses ain't coming back, the jobs ain't coming back. Of course, some of them will, a lot of them won't. Structural changes in how people are going to behave. Markets nearing all-time highs. People are suffering, out of work. Now they got to deal with these protests, a whole bunch of frustration. Again, structural issues. Wait till people wake up to this huge disconnect. They don't have big 401ks, if they have a 401k at all. They don't have big IRAs, if they have them at all. So don't be surprised if the same people who were protesting and rioting on Occupy Wall Street start to scratch their heads and figure, my goodness, we have this police brutality. We have this tragic death, this tragic murder. Because that's what it's been deemed, by the way, by two separate autopsies. It has been deemed a homicide. Slightly different in how it occurred. But both autopsies did show cause of death was homicide. So when are the people going to wake up to this huge difference between Main Street and Wall Street? People know this intuitively, instinctively. If it wasn't for the sit down, shut up money, I imagine we would already be there. So I think this is just a matter of time, because I thought the protests that were going to be coming to a theater near you were going to be caused more so by that aspect of that reality, of the huge difference between Wall Street and Main Street. And again, I am not for social warfare, pointing the finger, this, that, and the other. But when you get bailed out, I have a problem with that. I have a big problem with that. You build a better widget, a better mousetrap, Godspeed. Good luck to you. But when you protect yourself, your company, your profits, and keep competition reduced or non-existent because you buddy-buddy and pal up to members of Congress, to the president, what have you, I got a big problem with that. And that's what has been taking place in this country for generations. It was taking place after World War I. I highlighted that in a podcast last week. It's been taking place. It took place during the Great Depression. We highlighted that during last week's podcast as well. It took place. I mean, it continues to take place, ladies and gentlemen. They just use these types of events, these types of crises, to consolidate their power, to run away with as much loot as possible. That's why this is the looting of America. You have Main Street running into Target, and you have Wall Street running in to the U.S. Treasury. And if the Treasury's broke, which it is, well, we'll just have the printing press do it for us at the Federal Reserve. It's only a few blocks away from the White House. No big deal. Well, it is a big deal, ladies and gentlemen. And you're about to find out why. And you're going to pay for it. $25.7 trillion in a national debt, hundreds of trillions in unfunded liabilities, a national deficit that just crossed $3 trillion, expected to be $4 trillion. We expect it to be higher than that. by the end of fiscal year 2020, which will come to a conclusion at the end of this September. You will get inflation, you will get stagflation, and you will probably get hyperinflation. Prices might be going down for certain things, but if you ain't buying them, what do I care? I care about the prices of the things that you are buying. Those going up, those going down. What about the size of those items? Still getting 16 ounces, 24 ounces, or are they smaller? Is it now 15 ounces, now 14, 12 ounces, is it now 18, 20 ounces? What is it? Same price, I bet you, maybe even more. Pay attention to these things. Because it doesn't just have to be an increase in the price, it can also be the same price, but less product. Some people might call that quote-unquote shrinkflation, but nevertheless, it's the same concept. Money for less. Same money for less, more money for the same. It's coming, believe me when I tell you. Because you can't just print all of this money for free. There's no free lunch. I don't care what the president tells you. I don't care what Larry Kudlow tells you, Peter Navarro. I don't care what Jay Powell tells you, Steven Mnuchin. Any politician, left, right, center, there is no free lunch. Jay Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, he's basically the Nancy Pelosi of the Congress. Remember when Nancy Pelosi said, in regards to the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, well, we have to pass the bill to see what's in it. That's Jay Powell. Well, we got to print the money to see where it goes. This is the looting of America. They're doing it right in front of you. Because CNN, Fox, and MSNBC don't have cameras on Wall Street and on the Treasury Department and on the Federal Reserve. People don't know what's going on. But when you got idiots running in and out of a Target, oh, hell's breaking loose. I can't tolerate that for a second. That's what, $100 worth of Chinese crap? I don't like it, but wake up to the bigger picture. Distractions. Pay attention to the root. Because the root of all of this is also a driving factor to these protests and to these riots. It's the income inequality. It's the two-tier justice system. It's the two-tiered economic system. People are sick and tired of it. People are starting to wake up. Your $1,200 is sit down and shut up money. Your extra $600 if you're on unemployment is sit down and shut up money. They don't want you paying attention to what's going on right in front of you. So they simply make you a conduit, a pass-through to another bailout to some other financial institution. Here's your $1,200, go pay the bank. Here's your $600, go pay off your credit card. Because the government is at least smart enough to know that they can't just do a direct bailout to the banks once again, even though they're doing that. But we got to do it in conjunction with making the people a pass-through. Make no mistake about it. U.S.-China trade deal, basically off the table if it ever was to begin with. And again, that was only phase one. The Chinese are saying we're not buying pork, we're not buying the soybeans. No surprise here to this audience if you've been paying attention. They've already been sourcing their soybeans from Brazil and other products from Brazil, Argentina, France, Russia, etc., what have you. Exactly as we predicted here at the Capital News months and months and months ago. Trade wars are not easy to win, as the president would have you believe. This is a joke. And of course now, because of what's taking place and because of the rhetoric and the tone coming from the President of the United States, you now have countries like China and even Iran, quote-unquote, trolling, as that social media tag word is, trolling the United States of America, because China says, well, my goodness, we've had several months of protests and riots in Hong Kong, and we never deployed the Chinese military to go put them down, and we're supposed to be the authoritarian regime. They're laughing at us because the president, his initial response is, yep, we're going to send in the military. His formal statement in the Rose Garden after a week of protests, not months, a week, we're going to send in the military. Now, again, some people might like that. Posse Comitatus, not supposed to happen. Insurrection Act, we'll see what happens. There's no question that the states do have to get a clampdown on this stuff. Dirty laundry. Dirty shirts. Ours is just as dirty as everybody else's. Maybe slightly cleaner, on some aspects, slightly dirtier in others. This just sets this type of rhetoric up for a country such as China, who has a ridiculously dirty shirt, to say, look, Hong Kong protesting for months. We never sent our military over there. This is the knee-jerk reaction from the President of the United States. The blame game is already here. This rhetoric is going to pick up. Make no mistake about it. 2020 is absolutely crazy. It's June, already halfway there, okay? First 5 months of this year, unbelievable. We got another 5 months to go just to the election. It's been a lifetime these first 5 months. January, the month of January, we did a podcast. It's only January was the title. Because we had impeachment, we had locusts, we had those Australian fires, you had earthquakes taking place where they don't usually take place. You had the Chinese government in lockdown at the start of this pandemic. That was just January. And you know what's been taking place ever since. Structural change is needed. Leadership, real leadership is needed. Who can strike the right balance between unity and rule of law, because it's needed. This is not about political points. This is about the United States of America. And we are either one nation or we are not, because a house divided cannot stand. The looting of America. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.